listening to Good Guys Talk Back with your hosts, Nick Morawski and Pat Hester. Follow us on Twitter at Good Guys TV or on Facebook at Good Guys Talk Back.
Hey, Sox fans, welcome to Good Guys Talk Back. It's episode 75, a brand new episode here on Sunday, December 13th. We are recapping the winter meetings. I am Nick Morawski, and I'm going to bring in my co-host, Pat Hester, in just a second here. Thank you so much for joining us once again. If this is your first time with us, welcome. If you've been with us from the beginning, good to have you back. You can subscribe to this podcast in every new episode. We'll head into that inbox of yours. This is all White Sox chatter, fan-centric, blue-collar recording just a few blocks away from the stadium in Bridgeport. We are going to talk James McCann, Adam Eaton, Lance Lynn, why Sox fans are frustrated, what else could be done this offseason as the World Series window seems to be open for our Chicago White Sox. A lot to get to, but first let me bring in my co-host, Pat Hester. Hello, sir.
Nick, it's good to talk to you. I just will also remind you and Papa Jerry out there that there's 12 shopping days left until Christmas, and he can deliver some great presents to all the White Sox fans by spending the money he said would be spent. So I'm looking forward to that.
Bah humbug is what he would say. He is.
What are you talking about? What do you mean, bah humbug?
He is Ebenezer. It just feels like we'll get to some of those things. But you know, the last episode we recorded, Pat, we started hinting at the prospect, the love of our prospects, the obsession that some people have about the prospects. Don't touch the prospects. Let these folks have their time. Let's see what they can do. You don't want to give away someone at 23, 24. And you and I both discussed a little bit of Lance Lynn, and it's got to be smart. So let's start with the big one. Let's start with Lance Lynn coming over to the Sox for.
Does that mean a big signing or the big jersey that we're going to have to agree?
I like it though. I like his. He just looks like he belongs on the Southside team. and you know, we give up Dunning and a guy that no one's ever heard before. What were your what was your initial reaction, and then how did you feel a couple days later? And then, you know, I'll kind of unpack some of my feelings.
My initial reaction was I wasn't surprised. I was just, you know, you got a little bit of a look see into Dane Dunning and his talent for a couple of starts, right? That's what everybody gets. You get tantalized by people and a couple of starts and a little bit of the hype that goes along with it. And you fall in love, right? You were in that fall in love stage with a Dane Dunning. It's like, this is the guy that we've traded for, that's worked his way back. It's a great story. He seems like a great kid.
I mean, we talked ourselves into it in advance, right?
Yeah. But okay, so initially I was like, really? But then I was quickly reminded by some people that I'm friends with. And it's like, listen, you got a guy that finished, I think, top five in Cy Young voting ahead of Giolito and ahead of Keuchel this past year, and a guy that's been steady. He's going to have, you know, potentially, you know, aside from any kind of injuries, he's going to have 200 innings in a regular season for you. Mm-hmm. And he's a bulldog. And I was surprised that he's only 33. I thought he was much older than that because he did pitch in St. Louis. And I felt like that was a billion years ago.
He might be 34 when the season starts.
Okay.
He might have May birthday. Yeah.
So he's not by any means old. He's got some experience, obviously. He's a World Series, I believe, winning pitcher, if I'm not mistaken. So it's good. You give up the unknown for the known. Mm-hmm. And when you get a known of a top five and a Cy Young voting, then I think that's a good move. Overall, initially it was a little bit, we might be giving away a star. but you give away the unknown for the known, and that's the better way to do it when you're in the win now mode.
What was the most difficult thing in saying goodbye to Dane Dunning for you? What you'd seen or what could be with Dane Dunning?
Probably the more what could be, mm-hmm. right? Because again, he came up like a lot of young pitchers. It seemed like he was using a lot of pitches to get through, you know, whatever he was out there for. He was on obviously a pitch count, so it wasn't like he's out there for 7 or 8 innings during outings. I think they had him on a very short leash, 4, 5, maybe 6 innings. Mm-hmm. So you got a little bit of the taste, but again, you're going to imagine as he gets more of an opportunity, the league will catch up,
right?
And then he'll have to readjust, and you don't know what that's going to be like. Maybe he doesn't readjust back well. Maybe his body fails him. So again, that's all the unknown. Yeah. So you trade all that away for more of the known, and you make your pitching deeper and you're starting your rotation, and you've got a nice solid 3. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, you got to give up something to get something, and you know, they went with Dunning. I mean, they could have went with Cease, perhaps. They could have went with Kopech. I think those two guys, Cease and Kopech, might have been, if we were to execute this trade at the 2020 deadline. I mean, you know, Lynn was rumored to be heading to the Sox, and you know, so I think the price would have been heavier in season. So out season, it's Dunning. No question, Dunning has got the potential. He's got the arm. He's got the movement. Stone spoke very highly of him, and I respect what Stone says during the few starts Dunning had as he built up his arm strength after a surgery and some arm trouble. If I'm the Rangers, I'm ecstatic of getting this guy, you know, because I don't think the Rangers are doing anything this year for the next couple of years, so they can be patient with a guy like Dunning. If we're win now in 2021 as the White Sox, which Frank Menachino, our hitting coach, mentioned, and we all as a fan base feel like this is it, man. We've gone through the rebuild now. Rebuild's over. We're ready to compete, win a pennant, get to the World Series now. You're not doing that with Dunning as your 3 or 4 guy, okay, or even 5 guy in the rotation. So Lynn legitimizes the staff, right? You can do Giolito, Lynn, Keuchel, Giolito, Keuchel, Lynn, whatever you want to do with those 1, 2, 3. We have a guy that's ready to win now, and we don't get into a situation like we did against the A's with Lynn. You know, if Lynn's on the staff during that division series against the A's, maybe Ricky's still the manager. You know, we can play all those hypotheticals that we want. You know, Dunning was used, you know, as a buddy of mine said, and I agree, as a decoy in that.
Yeah.
So it sounded like you didn't have a lot of confidence with Dunning to begin with. And do you want to sit around and just cross your fingers and hope that Dunning comes into his own this year when we're ready for contention? We're not able to do that. We don't have the luxury. This isn't 2018, and good on the Sox for that, to realize, hey, we're ready to compete. We've got the core. We've got what we like. We got to get now a three-headed monster at the top of our rotation. Now, you know, 33, going to be 34. He's on a 1-year contract. Do you feel like, Pat, he needs to be extended? His contract needs to be extended for you to feel better about this?
The only thing I don't like about these 1-year deals is you're going back. You're doing this again next
right.
year. You're back in vote. So yes, I would feel better about it. I feel fine about it now, but I would feel even happier about it if you're able to extend them for another 2 years. You get a total of three years out of Lance Lynn that gets him at 37 years old, or wherever, you know, depending on where we're at with his age and at the start of the season. So that feels better, because you want him here during this entire, when this entire window is open, to continue to. So and the reason why I also like this move, Nick, for, if you're just looking at it from a lens of just this year, is you have 3 guys in your rotation now that can get you probably 200 innings, and you're saving that bullpen because you don't know yet what you have with Cease, and you don't know what you have with Kopech. Let's just assume those are your 4 and 5 starters. Yeah. You don't want to, you can't afford to have out of your 5 days, three of them being bullpen
Oh,
days,
absolutely.
essentially.
Right.
So this helps on the back end with your bullpen that, you need to keep fresh for a long season, potentially, hopefully, that we have a regular full, 162. And that's why this is a solid move, because you can't have three projects on your starting
No,
staff. You can maybe get by with two.
you can't have guys that you're throwing out there that are on pitch counts that, we're going to have to wear out our bullpen. And that's what I'm worried about with Cease, Lopez, and Kopech. I heard Lynn's interview on the Score. I don't know if you caught it. He was talking about, a little bit of his relationship with La Russa, and he's a very frank guy. I mean, he doesn't, he's very down to the point. He's no frills, which I love. He's very self-aware, like, which sounds a lot like Giolito, self-aware of what his strengths are as a pitcher, what he needs to work on. He's got a little bit of that Bauer language with like tunneling and spin rates, and he's got video on himself, and he's got analytics, and that's great to hear. And especially with, a young, fresh pitching coach, and with a guy like Duncan that's going to be working on those types of analytics in his role. But a lot of great things. I think the Sox are much better as a team having Lynn on it. But this isn't the guy that we all were, I think, hoping for as a fan base. That's why there's a bit of a sour taste, right? And I get it. The off season's not over, and it might happen at the trade deadline in 2021. But Lynn isn't our Sale or our Lester or our Verlander, is he?
Oh no, I don't. I couldn't say that, because those guys that you just mentioned are bona fide
Sure.
aces. Lance Lynn is not a bona fide ace. He's
But is
a
Lynn the guy
good.
that like takes us over the hump? Is he the guy that you say, okay, now we're coming for that World Series?
No, I'd say if there's like if you told me tomorrow or before the end of this off season we found a way to get like Snell to add to that, then I'm like, yes, okay, then this all now we're cooking with gas here. Let's rock and roll. So obviously Bauer, but I don't even know if I want to talk about that, because I feel like we start talking Bauer and the money and the we're just setting ourselves up for disappointment as Sox fans, because we know what type of a contract a guy like that's going to command, and we just don't pay that to pitchers unless it's John Danks and he gets 5 years for no reason.
There has to be a reason. There were pictures, there was something going on. This podcast, I mean, since it started, we're in season three here. Since it started during the winter meetings of 2018, it has been of the preface of we get, I get, I understand. Jerry's not going to spend money the way we want him to spend money. So you almost have like that's the foundation of these episodes and these conversations. And I believe you are of that mindset too. And other Sox fans that I talk to, the jumping off point is, well, like, let's all just call it out. Jerry's not going to spend the money. So what are the other moves? Banging your head against the wall of why the Sox won't spend money, why they cry poor, why guys like Brantley all of a sudden are too expensive for them. That is a waste of time. It's frustrating, don't get me wrong. I am just irate when I think about it, but nothing's going to be achieved by crying, and yelling that, Jerry's just, cheap beyond belief. Hey, that's not changing. Until he proves and gives us a template of what he's going to, that is not changing. But for us to get excited and feel like we've been thrown a bone with, oh, Lance Lynn and Eaton for $8 million, which we'll talk about that in a second, and being told by NBC Sports Chicago's staff and writers from Garfine to Duber, why we should be happy about this because we're come on, give me hey, we're smarter than that. You have to give me a break, okay? That stuff, I'm going off a little bit. That stuff really started to piss me off. Like when Duber is writing an article through NBC Sports Chicago, telling us as fans like why we should be excited, because it's like, you know, 3 for 1 instead of just paying a lot of money for one player. I'm paraphrasing it, but that's not the point, man. The point is that Jerry should be spending for quality, spend the quality money for a quality player. I mean, thoughts
well,
on that?
The problem is, Nick, that you can sell that if you tell me that we're able to do this and now we can land Trevor Bauer, right? We are able to
yeah, exactly.
Right, but it's always like, well, we are fiscally responsible here, here, and here.
Yes.
And we continue to be fiscally responsible. Okay, where's the payoff?
Yeah.
We're continuing. I don't think any fan gives two rips about how much money the White Sox save when your franchise is worth whatever a major league franchise is worth, and you
will never
and
know,
your owner
he's not going to open up the books and say, here, come to lot B, and I've got the books here on this table, and you can you know drive through and just, you know, in a safe way look at my books. Like, that's not going to happen.
Especially when the owner of the team owns another professional sport team, which happens to be in the NBA, which happens to be worth even that much more money than a baseball team. So give me a break. I don't really care about your fiscal responsibility.
Now, where some of that comes from is the long play that we might just not know about. Do you want to make Tim Anderson a White Sox for life? And how much is that going to cost based on market over the next few years? Do you want to extend Giolito? Do you want to extend Lynn? You know, and like you had said, which I think you said it really well, I understand that defense by a Duber or a Garfine, you know, on their podcast. But okay, then where's the payoff? If they are saving for a bigger player, well, then show me that bigger player, you know. And I think we as fans can rant and rave until it actually happens. So if they turn around and say, here you go, you know, we lock Bauer up or we lock Brantley up for this amount, then we could all shut our mouths and say, oh, okay, so I got what you were doing. Yeah. But that's never been done.
No, and that would, again, that you feel really good when you talk about all the young guys that are all signed for long-term deals. There's a lot of control in their contracts, and they all were signed really team-friendly deals with, you know, all the young players that we have set for the next 5-6 years. And that's all wonderful. But as a fan, you want to say, okay, now when it's time to strike in free agency and buy something when we need to buy it, we should have the reserve money to do it.
Yeah.
That's what we did all that for, right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Absolutely. So, and we saw a little bit of it with Grandal, but a little bit of it is the key word. You know, whatever his deal was for $74 million, and that's the richest contract in Sox history. Am I right with that? I mean, that's pathetic. Absolutely.
Yeah. But Nick, as we talked about it, spending the most money doesn't automatically mean that you're winning. The Dodgers obviously won this past year, and they've always had one of the highest, or if not the highest, payroll. So this year is a little bit more of a, you know, an anomaly than anything else. But you've got to be aggressive when you can, when the window is open. And now's the time to be aggressive with the dollars that you've, quote unquote, been able to save over the years with all these smart businesses.
Yeah, this is the time. And I know there's some uncertainties because of the pandemic and what the season's going to look like. And there are a lot of big names that are still out there that can be extremely helpful to the Sox. And we'll get to that in just a little bit here. Because the other big acquisition, big is, again, a generous term, I think. The other acquisition by the Sox was Adam Eaton. He comes back to play right field, I guess, 1 year. What was it, $7 million, $8 million? Boy, you know, this one came out of nowhere, almost like the La Russa thing. And when I started hearing the rumors, because, again, you know, being teased by Garfine and his boys at NBC Sports Chicago, when they started talking about how would you feel about Eaton, something fishy I felt was going on. Like they had some inside information and they wanted to test the waters with the fan base. And I'm not thrilled by this. How do you feel about, you know, having Adam Eaton back on this team?
I'll tell you what, Nick, if I'm getting the Adam Eaton that performed the way he performed in the playoffs in the World Series 2 years ago and continues to be on base and continues to play a solid right field, and he doesn't buck the good vibes we have in the
That's the, yeah.
clubhouse, then I sh every I and everybody else should be excited about this because he's a solid player. But I don't understand, again, like going back to my point earlier, is these 1 year deals. We're going to be doing this dance again next
Yeah.
year. And it's going to be at the end of the year, Rick Hahn's going to say, okay, the shopping list for this year is starting pitching, right field, DH. It's like, man, I mean, you are one of the biggest Bill Murray fans in the world. Are we Groundhog's
is.
Day again every year at the end of the
Yeah,
year?
well, it's winter meetings again, and we're looking forward to a starting pitcher, DH, and right fielder again. Hey, put aside that he's an ass or he's a jerk or whatever was going on when Frazier was around and Sale was around before the rebuild, before he got shipped. A lot of those stories have come out. Guillen has spoken about it. Eaton has been asked about it this past week. Let's talk about that in a minute. Put aside that, you're right. If he can perform and if he can play, well, that's a whole different story. But then you have to go back to, well, okay, he might be performing and playing, but if he has a shitty attitude and he screws up the chemistry of this team, then is it worth it? Yeah, he might be playing, but then what's his attitude inside of the clubhouse? What, I mean, thoughts on that?
Well, I'll tell you what. Go
would
ahead.
he be okay platooning with Engel, or is he going to be a jerk about that? Because I don't think he's an everyday starting right fielder.
I think that right now you have one of the strongest leaders in a clubhouse on any team in Abreu. So I think Abreu controls that locker room, and I feel good about where he is in his status in the league now, winning an MVP. And you come into that locker room, and it's Abreu's locker room, and he'll control it. And I feel good about it. The locker room that Eaton was a part of, when he was here, that
It
culture
was in
is
disarray.
long gone.
There was
Yeah, it's.
confusion. There was, the Sox had no direction. They really didn't. And I think that's why a lot of us celebrated the rebuild. It's like, finally, there's a direction. We are going in a direction. Let me ask you something on like a personal side. Eaton talked about, his maturation process, and he said, well, having a couple kids now, I've got young kids, and that has helped me in just my mindset. You as a father, having young kids, did that change your reference maybe when dealing with people in a work environment, create a
Oh God,
positive
yes.
culture, chemistry?
100%. I mean, your kids will change, especially you think about it, a young guy maybe at the time didn't have kids on the road a bunch, around a bunch of other young guys. You do things and you act ways that maybe you look back on in your life and you go, holy cow, I hope my kids don't act that way. So, kids will definitely change you. They'll mature you quickly and your whole scope on life changes. So, I'll give, like we all are, we're all different people than we were 4 or 5 years ago. So, now it could come to prove that he's still, deep down, or like they say, a tiger doesn't change his stripes, all that kind of stuff. But I do understand the, maturing the kids and a different spot in your life, and
He has a World Series ring, okay, so he has some clout. But as you mentioned, we've got other leaders now. We've got Abreu, we've got Keuchel, we've got Giolito, we've got Grandal if he wants to be, which I think he should be. So it's not just Eaton, who I think was trying to do something he didn't really need to do. And obviously there was some personal stuff going on with guys like Frazier. And I bring up the Keuchel thing because, Keuchel spoke about the culture that the Sox had in 2020, and he mentioned, Yeah, we need a bit of a winning edge. We didn't have the attitude in 2020, and I had to redirect some people, or I had to speak up. Tim Anderson didn't seem to be too excited about what he heard from Keuchel recently, and he went off on his social media platform a little bit and kind of poked fun at what Keuchel was referencing. But it sounds like the front office wanted a little bit of edge with the 2021 Sox that wasn't there last year. And I think Lynn brings it. He just looks like Lynn's a dude that, like, you could probably go hunting with, and then just eat some raw meat, and or cure your own venison. He just seems to be a guy that's going to bring a lot. And if Eaton's going to bring a little bit of an edge, as long as, like, man, just know your place. If that makes sense. Because the stuff I was reading as a fan, it just really troubles me. So yeah, if he could put up numbers and he's okay platooning, but then it goes back to, oh, we're going to be all over in a year having to figure this out. So it's a little frustrating.
I think you hit a great marketing opportunity. Do we have like hunting, orange hunting shirt, Lance Lynn Day at the ballpark coming up?
I think so. I think they should set up in the stadium. They should set up like deer blinds, and that's like can be a seating opportunity. Like lucky fans can be seated in like one of those protected areas. Scott.
Hot dog eating contest day on the 4th of July, like they do on Coney Island. We could hot that. That's a great promotion right there. Can you out eat hot dogs with
Yeah,
Lance
especially
Lynn?
if he's not pitching that day, I think he should really set the bar on dollar hot dog days. Scott Pitsednik was on, I think Friday on The Score, and he talked a lot about culture and he talked a lot about chemistry. And they picked his brain on the 05 team, and we've read about the 05 team. We continue to talk about the 05 team, like Bears fans talk about the 85 team until something changes. And Pitsednik said, look, you absolutely need to have a couple leadership voices, if not one, maybe two, where they set the tone. They keep people in check. People need to be held to expectations, and even adult players. And they had that in 05. He didn't go into too many details, but I think we could all kind of guess. And that's important even now in 2021. We'll see. Obviously, we'll see, and we'll see if any other moves are being made outfield wise. But one of the guys that will not be on the team, and it's not a surprise, is James McCann. He signs with the Mets, a 4-year deal for $40 million. You and I both talked about this, on the podcast and just privately. Like we knew he was gone. What are your thoughts on, does he leave a huge hole? Can the Sox survive without him?
Oh God, yeah. I mean, listen, I love, and when my mother hears this, she's gonna have a, not be happy with me. But James McCann, fantastic. Thank you for your service. And would have liked to have kept him. This is not me saying I, didn't want him. Because if you could have signed him for an affordable deal, then I would have been all about it, bring him back. But listen, man, before he came to the White Sox, he was not really anything that, you were excited about when you got him. He was just another guy that came from the Tigers as a catcher. And listen, he had a really good first half in 2019. Not that nothing to write home about the second half after the All-Star break. And then last year in a 60 game sample where he was platooning with, another guy, and he performed quite well. I'm not saying he didn't, and we're glad to have him, but I just don't think that he's not something that we can't live without. I mean, thank you very much. And like the guy, love what he brought. Him and Giolito had a great chemistry together. But to say that that can't be recreated again is, I think, ludicrous. And, you need to have I'm sorry, you need to have Grandal's bat in there majority of the time. And I believe that chemistry will be built with the rest of the pitching staff with Grandal here in year two. And thank you for your service. But again, we're not going to be, we're not going to rue the day that we didn't sign James McCann.
I agree with you on that. He'll be missed, and I am curious to see how Giolito responds. I am no way saying, oh, Giolito's going to, you know, fall off, or, you know, the dude is an ace and he's got the stuff, but there is a special relationship that, you know, when you've got almost like a private catcher like he'd had, a catcher bears a lot of responsibility, a lot of weight mentally. When you're on the mound, I mean, you almost want to get into that zone where you're not really thinking. You're letting the catcher think for you. And the catcher is keeping track of, well, how did we pitch this guy in previous at-bats? And what are we trying to accomplish in this inning? And maybe even setting up a hitter for a couple moves down the line in future innings. Gosh, just go back to that interview after Giolito's no-hitter and compile a bunch of other comments that not only Giolito but other pitchers said about McCann. You know, there was a huge fan base that wanted McCann over Grandal this past year. Mm-hmm. So he'll be missed, but we've got almost a whole offseason for Grandal to really build that rapport and start getting to know Giolito better. As well as these other pitchers, I feel like McCann was almost used in a way to help us forget that Edwin Encarnacion was on the team. Like, towards the end of the season, McCann was getting the big hits a DH needed to get.
Yeah.
He was getting pinch-hit hits. He was stepping up in ways that Mazzara and Edwin were supposed to. And that's what I'm going to miss. So what really I'm saying now is, okay, I would have liked him to come back as a DH. You know, doesn't want that. He wants to get paid catcher money, starting catcher money, and Mets are throwing around some goofy money, I think, or at least signaling they will. That just leaves us now with, we need to legitimize our bench, you know, with offensive power to come off of it. Like, we had McCann, you know, able to come off the bench and pitch it situations. But we need a legitimate DH now.
Yeah. And, well, again, that, and I think that move will be made here shortly. Well, maybe not shortly, but that's why you would love all this to get done at the winter meetings, right? To be done. And, okay, this is our team ready to go. And all this money was spent.
Of course. Fantastic.
But it's a process that we just have to be patient for, Nick. And I think it'll all, you know, for better or worse, we'll get, it'll just take some time. To get figured out.
Han was asked, you know, about that, you know, after the Eaton deal was finalized, and, you know, what else is in store for the Sox? Will more money be spent? This, that, and the other. And Han's response is, we'll see, which is, you know, one of the more pathetic responses, but also a very Han response. What is still in store for the Sox? What's on your hope list, your wish list, the Sox that they've got to nail down this position, or they need to strengthen up here. Where are you hoping that things go before pitchers and catchers report?
Well, I really like this Liam Hendricks opportunity to strengthen the bullpen. I know, you know, we have, and you might even have it on the rundown here next, somewhere down the line to talk about later, but, you know, what do you think about Colome? Again, I think that you can't fall in love with, with guys in the bullpen and pay him a ton of money. But I think that anytime you can add bullpen help, whether he's your closer or setup guy or however you want to use him, I think that's always a plus. But not to spend like crazy money, because we've seen that, you know, backfire on us. Like, okay, we need this closer and we're going to spend a ton of money. I'd rather be a little bit more physically responsible when it comes to the bullpen, but adding there is always a good thing. And, you know, now I think that, you tell me if I'm crazy, since we haven't done the big splashy spend in money yet, is that where you do your big splashy spend on a DH? Is that a bad move?
No, I don't think it's a bad move. Let me address the Hendricks thing, and then I'll address the DH potential splash. I'm, you know, I'll entertain Colome coming back, but you have to be. This is one of the more difficult positions to price. is a closer. The shelf life is, it's not very long. And yes, Colome has been pretty consistent, but could this be his drop off? It's a gamble. Now, don't be obsessed with, a guy like Hendricks. However, he's got a strong arm. It seems like he's got some emotional stuff, a bit of a head case. At least we witnessed it during the A's series in the playoffs. However, I think you have to have a legitimate closer heading into a contention type of year. I'm not putting Crochet in that role. I'm not interested in even putting a Hoyer or Bummer in those roles, even though they might be future closer. I want someone that's a proven closer, that's got a power arm slotted day one. This is who you're ready to face in the ninth inning. Yep. Those guys, Crochet, Fry, Bummer, Marshall, we've got a hell of a bullpen. They're going to be very valuable, but I'm not putting a rookie, even though it happened with Jenks, and that kind of wasn't the plan, though, if everybody remembers. Jenks wasn't our opening day closer. It just happened to work out, one of those magical things about that year. I'm going into the season with a proven closer, and I don't think it's going to be Colome. I think what you're talking about, spending money and making a splash, why the hell not Brantley? If he's a left fielder, here's the other thing. Spend money on Brantley, put him in left field, and put Aloy at DH. We don't have to worry about him falling in nets, him twisting ankles, celebrating. Every time there's a big play and there's excitement within the play, look for the ground. Look to see if he's rolling around and you're holding your breath.
I'm envisioning somebody rolling him out like Hannibal Lecter, like just to bring him up to the plate,
put him on a hand truck,
deliver him to the batter's box, let him hit, run around the base, and put him back on the hand truck, back into the dugout.
You can get Brantley, you can use him as a DH, but why not throw him in the outfield? And have Aloy as a DH. And for them to say, the rumors I heard about them being priced out of Brantley now, or he, give me a, such a, but again, if you're pricing yourself out and saying Brantley is somebody that you can't afford, then you must have some other, I'm praying to God you have some other ideas of how that money's going to be spent. And it's almost already spent in your mind because of an extension or some other deal. So you're saying Brantley's not affordable. Go out and get him, get Hendricks, get Quintana as a fifth starter, because, Lopez is not going to be I'm not confident that Lopez is going to be your fifth starter. Kopech is somewhat unproven. He's very unproven. He's going to be starting in Charlotte most likely. There's a lot of deals that still need to be made. In my personal opinion.
Am I crazy in saying I would rather roll the dice on Kopech being my fifth starter than Ronaldo Lopez?
I'm with you.
Is that crazy?
I'm absolutely with you in that. I'd rather take a guy that's got a power arm, that's got movement, that's a bit of a wild thing, than Lopez, who's going to throw you batting practice and keep telling you, oh, I think I know what's wrong, right? Yeah, I got to do better, or get rattled, after he gives up a two-out walk and a base hit. And, this staff needs a lot of work, man. Cease has got some stuff he's got to figure out. Cease is saying all the right things, but you got to put it in motion. I need results. If this is a contention year, you can't have multiple question marks in your starting five. That's and pitching is where it's going to come down to. So put money in your bullpen, get your lockdown closer, and then legitimize the starting five. Because there's also depth, and you can never have enough pitching. So you have depth with Lopez and Kopech, but I don't know if I'm necessarily starting with them. If Cease is starting at
well,
four,
depth
that's
is fine. You got to have quality depth.
That's true. That's a good point. Lopez,
you can just have a lot of bodies.
Lopez is a body, in my personal opinion. He's not quality depth. I'm sorry, he's not.
Yeah.
What has he done? What has Lopez done?
Nothing. He hasn't done anything. He's had, I think, about five good starts that I can that I would be safe to say.
Yeah, he had one great outing against Detroit a couple seasons ago, and that's it, man. That is it. I
We know what the guy is. There isn't enough room for me on this team to have that. I'd rather go with a little bit more of the unknown in Kopech, because it was so highly touted, right? And because I want to see if that is going to pan out for the trade that we made. I want to see the other half of that sale trade, come to
Yeah,
fruition, I
he's
guess.
got, I want to get Kopech deserves chances, and I'm really excited to see what he can do, but you can't pencil him in as like, oh, he's man, he's our fourth or he's our fifth when he's what? He hasn't pitched legitimately in 2.5 seasons. How many innings does he really have logged? Like, again, that would have been nice to see him in 2020, which should have been. That would have been great. That was it, like kind of like a that was playing with house money last season, and it just didn't happen. Okay, we got to move on, but you're not going into the season with a high expectations on Kopech. Now that could change by June or July, but I'm going into the season, and I maybe Kluber, maybe you're looking at Odorizzi, maybe Quintana, but I want my four or five. If it's a championship season that we're going for, they have to have some legitimate experience, man, that they're bringing to the table.
No, I hear you. I'm with you.
That doesn't
I,
sound
again,
crazy,
I
does
just,
it?
I, no, I just don't. I guess my whole thing is I've had enough of Ronaldo Lopez, and I think you and I spend more time talking about Ronaldo Lopez than
Yes,
he's
you're
worth.
right. You're absolutely right. I think it's really the disappointment, but not everybody pans out. And it's the when do you pull the plug on it? I'm hoping that some moves are made, the rest of this offseason where we kind of like he goes away somehow. Like we don't even we
Are you driving somebody else to the airport, Nick? Are you packing somebody else's bags and driving them
Talk about a
away?
busy off season. It sounds like I have just really I've
Mm-hmm.
got a lot on my plate. Okay, hey, look, there will be more moves this off season. There has to be, and I look forward to bringing further episodes on where this team is at as we roll in through the holidays. We flip the calendar into 2021. Is this team better than it was before winter meetings? My belief is yes, and I believe you feel that way too.
Oh, agree. Yes, 100%.
I think get your pitching taken care of. You can never have enough pitching. There are a lot of rumors still out there, and I'm excited about the things I hear, but I don't buy in any of the crying poor and any of the they price themselves out of this guy, that guy, spend it. And here's one more thing. Let's leave on kind of this. I believe Reinsdorf does care about winning, but at his cost, on his terms. Does that make sense? Like he wants to have a successful team, but it's only going to be on his terms. And if it so happens that the Sox have a winning team, it's going to be because he did it the way he wanted to do it, and it just worked out that way. They win despite him. And I don't know if you agree on that, but or if you get what I'm saying on
Well, I
that.
think people like Jerry Reinsdorf have carry a tremendous
Oh yeah.
ego,
Oh yeah.
right? And it's their way, and they're going to do it the way they've done business for years and years and years. Nobody's going to dictate policy to them. So I agree 100%. It's where we're at, and it his methods of his madness are probably very old school. They are old school, and it's going to stay that way until he's maybe not around anymore. I don't mean
No.
that in a bad, he's no longer with us mode, but until he's no longer the chairman of the board there.
Well, there's some unfinished business with this offseason with this team, but it is exciting. This team is going to be good. They will be successful, and the window is open. And get ready for this, folks. Pat, always a pleasure, and very, very fun to talk. Post winter meetings, and that just means spring training's on the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Can feel it.
All right, sir. Well, hopefully we get another episode in maybe before the new year. Anytime there's you know, some new moves made, hopefully we can jump on and click a recording. But thank you so much for this time.
Yeah, buddy, hopefully an emergency podcast where we just change the mode and money is being spent and this one doesn't age well.
I agree with you 100%. Folks, so much thanks for listening, for following us, for your input. We do appreciate you sticking around since the beginning or just recently. Pass this podcast along to other Sox fans. Give it a rating. It helps other Sox fans find us. We're on Twitter at GoodGuysTB, and we've got a Facebook page. Find that as well. Everything for the love of the White Sox. For Pat Hester, I am Nick Morawski. Until next time, go Sox.